WATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show. It is June 1st, and that means we are in the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we're glad you're with us. This is an hour where we are live, and we get you up to date on the good news that is going on. It's kind of a double meaning, you know, the good things happening in North Texas, and of course, also the good news of Jesus Christ and our beautiful Catholic faith. So thank you so much for joining me for this hour. I've got some great guests that are going to be on in the second half of the hour. I'll be joined with our regular CPLC segment, which is always the typically it's the second Monday of the month, but next Monday we're going to be doing Share-a-thon. So I asked the CPLC folks to do it 1 week early. So Ellen Rossini, Director of Advancement, is going to be joining us. They have something very interesting happening tomorrow at noon. It is a webinar focused on Magnifica Humanitas, which is the encyclical on AI that was published last week by Pope Leo XIV, something that I am actually reading right now. And we're going to be talking about that a few different times during the program today. They also have a golf tournament, the 26th Annual CPLC Golf Tournament. It's going to be Wednesday, September 23rd, and the chair of the golf tournament, Kevin Morrison, is going to be joining us as well. And in about 10 minutes, I'm so delighted, in studio with me is my dear friend, Monica Ashour. And she is founder and president of Tobit, the Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. And put a .org after Tobit, T-O-B-E-T, and you'll get to their website. I called her last week about something totally unrelated to Tobit. And we got to talking, and I said, you know what? Can you please come in on Monday and talk about it? I just am fascinated by her work. She's celebrating her 25th anniversary of Tobit this year and looking forward to the next 25 years. And she is right across from me, so I'm going to introduce you to Monica Ashour here in just a moment. And also sitting not too far from me on the other side of the glass is Cecil Anderson. How are you doing, Cecil?
I'm doing well. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing fine. There's a few things we got to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Before we move on to Monica. And I mentioned Sacred Heart Month. And, you know, this is a really cool month. And you and I just happened at different times over the past weekend to be at Sacred Heart Parish in Rowlett. And did you mention anything about Sacred Heart Month? Or it seemed like it seemed kind of irrelevant because it was still May when we were there.
Right. I originally was going to say, like, I'm so excited to be here right before the month of the Sacred Heart, but I thought I might get a little too off track if I started going down that rabbit trail. So I didn't. So
I thought the same thing. Yeah. Had it been in June, I probably would have said
100%.
Something. But now there's a sign as you drive into Sacred Heart Parish in Rowlett that Cecil and I both noticed, and it said something about the parish being founded in 1899. And I saw that and I thought, wow, this is like a 19th century parish. And it's so amazing. And you actually got more details about that, whether or not it's the oldest parish in the Dallas Diocese, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, so, I did. I read the whole historical marker.
Wow, look at you.
Because I was like, oh, I want to go see what this is all about. Am I supposed to skip spoilers or do you care about?
No, go ahead and say whatever
you
want.
What I read was that it was the second oldest parish in the Dallas County. Okay. And so it was 1899 was the year that it was established. So it's been around for quite a while. And they have the original, I'm pretty sure if I'm remembering the wording correctly, the original small parish is still on the campus, which is really beautiful to see. I didn't get to see the inside of it, but it has some old stained glass in it. And so it's an official state marker for the state of Texas.
If I had a lot of time and was able to do it, I'd love to do just a tour, like a video tour of all the parishes in the Dallas Diocese.
That'd be so great.
And like St. Martin of Tours, for example, that's you know, the ones out east tend to be the older ones. Mm-hmm. The further west you get, they get newer. But yeah, I just did a little bit of research. The oldest continuously operating parish in the Dallas Diocese is Immaculate Conception in Corsicana, which isn't really east. It's more south.
Yeah, that's south.
Established in 1871, but then there also was a proto parish, St. Paul, in St. Paul, Texas, 1856, that later was absorbed, I love that, by St. Anthony Parish in Wiley. So St. Anthony and Wiley, which, by the way, we're going to this weekend. So there's a tie-in. And then, oh, get this tie-in. In the city of Dallas proper, The first parish established was Sacred Heart Church in 1869, but now known as the that look on your
I
face.
I was like, that's
now
I'm
known
confused.
As the National Shrine of the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Oh.
So that was originally okay. Sacred Heart. So all this Sacred Heart.
Wow. That's incredible. I did not know that.
Things are going on. Isn't that amazing? See what you learn when you tune into the Good News Show, all about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we do thank Father Inigo Lopez and also Sophia at the parish over there at Sacred Heart in Rowlett for letting us come in. And a couple other things related to Sacred Heart I want to tell you about. My dear friend Olivia Franklin texted me this morning. She's always giving me great information. There is a movie coming out.
Yes, you're, I saw okay. that, yes.
Boy, you're just in the know, aren't you?
I love the Sacred Heart. What can
yeah.
I say?
Okay, Sacred. So Sissel already knows this. I had no clue. Sacred Heart, His Reign Has No End. A French docudrama that explores the apparitions of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. The film is coming to the U.S. theaters in a special limited release, sacredheartfilm.us. Do you know when it's probably going to be this week, right?
Yeah, it's actually next week, this weekend and next week. My young adult group was originally going to go to one of them, but what ended up happening is our parish is actually doing a special votive mass on the day that the bishops are consecrating America to. And so because of that, we've just opted to go to the mass with our parish, but I'm going to still send out the information. I think it's four dates. It's like next Thursday, next Monday, and sometimes over the weekend as well.
All right. So tell me, did you know this? Did you know that the relics of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque are coming to America?
I did. I just know a lot of people in the Catholic world. It's really
well,
exciting.
I can't throw anything on you, can I? Do you
like
know
I
what?
Said.
Do you know when they're going to arrive?
No, that I don't know.
Okay,
you've
so at least I can
one.
Tell you
you've
one
won.
Thing. Yeah. All right. So it's going to be June through September. The major pilgrimage features the saint's clavicles, ribs, and a piece of her brain.
Wow.
I know some people find that kind of weird, but not the theology of the body person. The theology of the body person. And loves this. Tomorrow it arrives in New York from Paris, and then it's going to be in New Haven, Connecticut, Orlando, Florida, Denver, Colorado, mostly with the Knights of Columbus. They're the ones that are kind of hosting her relics. But anyways, so that's that, and I think that's all I have. I do want to say real quickly that I promise you we're going to get to Monica Ashour, is that this weekend is the Fullness of Truth conference down in Round Rock with Father Chad Ripperger, Jesse Romero, Jen Baugh, Shane Smith, a comedian who used to be like a Satanist, and now he's a faithful Catholic. And Ken Zammit, the founder of Fullness of Truth, who's a friend of mine, has given us some passes to give away. And he said, I have one more family pass to give away. So if you're very spontaneous, because this thing begins in like 5 or 6 days, and if you want to go down there and see Father Chad Ripperger, I can give you a pass for the entire Friday through Sunday. And you get into the water park, the Kalahari down to Round Rock, and you have to... You get the tickets to get in. You still have to get your own lodging and travel and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, if you would like those tickets, a family pass means you, your spouse, and anybody in your house under 21, just email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And the final thing, okay, I'm still on time. Just want to let you know, what do you think I'm going to say? Another Sacred Heart reference.
Yes, is it our Share-a-thon that happens to be themed on the consecration to the Sacred Heart next week?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? So it begins a week from today, Monday, June 8th, mm-hmm. right?
8th through 12th.
7 o'clock in the morning. We always want somebody from North Texas, preferably a KTH 910 AM listener, to be the first person to call in. 800-476-3311. And as Sissel just mentioned, the theme is consecration to the Sacred Heart. Sissel made a really, really cool graphic that's being sent to, that hopefully is going to be in a lot of bulletins. Do you want to real quickly give the situation for volunteers and meals?
Yes, I am still looking for a number of volunteers for all of the different shifts that we have available. Summer is, you know, busy time for everyone. And so it doesn't work for everybody, but if it could work for you, I have next Monday from 1 to 7 p.m. I need some volunteers then. And then on Thursday, Tuesday, June 11th, which is next Thursday, from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. We would love to have you to come help with that. It's a great opportunity to make new friends. We feed you some delicious food, and you get to hang out and talk to our wonderful donors and put in their information. We train you. It's very easy. So if you'd like to come spend some time with us, we would love to have you. I will be sending out another bulk email. So if you're on our email list, you'll get that this afternoon. But also, you can just go ahead and email us first at kath@grnonline.com if you'd like to come volunteer with us next week. And if you'd like to, can't come maybe in person, you can't do the volunteering aspect, but you'd like to feed our volunteers, we would appreciate that as well. It could be as simple as sending a check or just giving me a budget and I'll work with it and we can work out different things, or you can bring a meal yourself.
And how many meals do you still need?
I still need two meals.
Two meals? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can email Sissel@grnonline.com and spell it S-I-S-S-E-L, Sissel@grnonline.com, or you can email kath@grnonline.com, and that'll go to both me and Sissel. So let's talk to Monica Ashour. She is the founder and president of the Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. You can find them online at tobet.org, T-O-B-E-T.org. Their mission, according to their website, is to provide original educational resources presenting the truth of God's design of the body to children, youth, and families so that all will be transformed by St. John Paul II's life-affirming message of the theology of the body. Monica Ashour, welcome. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Dave, hi. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
I was so happy that you would come in. I've always been very intrigued by you and just what the work that you've done, because these teachings came out, I guess, back in the late 70s and early 80s. But when you read it, it must have just been transformative, because you didn't just become a fan of these teachings. You turned it into your entire vocation, didn't you?
Yeah, I would say so. My mission in life is to help spread the good news of Jesus Christ to his church through the theology of the body. And I just can't believe I get to do this. And as George Weigel said, he said, after the Holy Father, he wrote this before the Holy Father died, after the Pope John Paul died, it would be a time bomb set to go off. Mm-hmm. And Tobit and I, my employees, we are trying to detonate it. And what is it exploding? It's exploding the wrong idea of the human person.
Yeah.
You know, made in God's image and likeness. And a lot of people think it's only about sexuality, but you know, it's much broader than that. And so, yeah, here I am 25 years later.
Yeah. A lot of people look at the world and say, gosh, you know, we're so messed up and, you know, there's so many, you know, pornography and so many things and all that. It probably would have been even worse had John Paul II not written this. I mean, how much has it penetrated the culture, do you think?
Yeah, I would answer that by saying, especially now, did you know that Gen Zers and millennials, they go to church more often than our age group?
Yeah.
And I think that's due to the fact that these young adults are so tired of the lies.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired of, you know, even being on social media alone. And so they want to encounter others. And I would say body to body.
Yeah.
Some people might sexualize that phrase, but it just means like you and I right now, Dave, are body to body, because we could look at each other in our eyes. And so, as I often say, it's the body matters. And so you're right. I think Pope John Paul gave us such a gift in this theology of the body that is kind of revolutionary.
You know, there's a quote, one of my favorite quotes of the entire Summa, and it relates so much to your work as well, is it says, person is the most perfect thing in all of nature. And what I always say when I'm teaching the Summa is that, and I know this is something that you kind of teach as well, is that we're the only ones, the human beings are the only ones that can manifest personhood physically. Of course, Jesus did it in a profound way, but the angels cannot manifest personhood physically, right? And the three persons of Blessed Trinity are all spiritual until Jesus took on, the Word took on human form. But I find it interesting, the body being so significant. But 25 years, take us back to December 8th, 2001, and what happened on that day?
Yeah, there were about nine of us who were just eager, because we had just found out about the theology of the body about a year before, and we were in this study group together, and then we're like, why doesn't anybody know about this? Let's found a nonprofit and we didn't know what we were doing, but we just knew that the Holy Spirit was calling us to get this message out because it's so life transforming. It was for us founders, and I haven't stopped since. And, you know, the road ahead is beautiful. We call our capital campaign Silver Roots to Golden Future. And so, but we had to build on something, Dave. You know that is this radio station. You gotta set the foundation and then keep it soaring ahead.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so happy that we are here even now.
So though you said 9 people 25 years ago, were you the head of it back then, or did you just do the one that kind of just kept it going, maybe more so than the others, or you, but your life allowed you to just keep doing it and others were, you know,
that's right. Yeah. So, Annie and Stephen Vining, the three of us were the main co-founders. They're Aggies. So when when I was a campus minister at St. Mary's at Texas A&M University, I had met them, and then all of us, We found ourselves in the Dallas area, and that's when we started this, and we haven't stopped. And so I was happy that in 2008, I took over as president full-time from Annie, who is just a great founder. She and Stephen have several kids, two of whom are now in the convent.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So they're just living Theology Body in a different way.
Yeah. You mentioned about young people and how they're more active in church than people of our generation. Do you think the average, let's say 18, 20-year-old, when you say Theology of the Body, does that mean anything? I guess it's all going to depend on how serious they take their faith. But are people still drawn to it, the young people studying it, teaching it? What has been your experience?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, Father Kevin Kolker here in the Dallas Diocese, when he was a teenager, he was part of Tobit 4 Teens by Teens. And he says he attributes his vocation to, well, not all of it, but a portion of it to being part of Tobit. So does Sister Josephine Garrett. And so the young adults, like even more so now, I think they are attracted to it because they're so sick of the lies that they now know through pornography and things like that. So
I think also with social media, because so much of social media is about body image. And I sometimes look around, especially young girls, and you can see that how the way they dress, very much social media driven. So do you think that, what is the answer from Theology of the Body to that kind of body image that's being perpetrated by social media now?
Yeah, part of it is, you know, they take body image and they transform the body to look even better. And so how do you measure up to that? And I think especially for girls, but you know, women as well, but it's even, body image is now lower because what I mean by that is like 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds have trouble. And that would never have occurred to them before that. Yeah. And so I do think it's the social media influence. Now, my books, The Body Matters, are 18 books for preschool through 8th grade. You know, we try to say that the body matters, but it's because the body reveals the entire person, not just the body qua body, but the body as a revelation of the entire person. Mm. And so how are we made in God's image and likeness? Mostly when we love, and we can only love through our bodies. And so that's why the body matters. It's, I mean, I could go along and long, you know, many talks.
No, that's good. And I want to come back to the capital campaign that you have going on, Silver Roots to Golden Future, obviously a reference to 25 and then 50. And are you going to have an event, or how are you promoting this? What can people do if they want to support you?
Yeah, thanks for asking. We have different levels of giving, and our goal is to raise $6 million over the next 3 years.
Oh, wow.
It's a huge goal, but I already have pledges in a bigger amount, and we're just working on that. And so if someone knows someone who might want to give to such a great cause, because we need Theology of the Body badly, I would say contact me at Tobit.org. You know, they could find me there.
Okay.
But it's just a way of getting out some of our major resources now, one of which I told you is Bridges and Boundaries. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
should I go into that?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing, Dave, is most Catholics don't know that safe environment is mandated for children and youth every year. whenever I say safe environment, everyone knows, they think about the adult training, but they don't know that it's mandated from preschool through 12th grade.
Is this Catholic schools or Catholic parishes?
Parishes, youth groups, you name it. And kids are supposed to go through that. And so I finally decided, like, all right, I think the Lord's calling me to do a safe environment program. I named it Bridges and Boundaries after Pope Benedict. He says the body is a bridge and a boundary. And 3 weeks ago, we were in Phoenix, my team and I, and 30 other dioceses are thinking about implementing Bridges and Boundaries, because it gives the true, the good, the beautiful first, the knowledge of body. And so when children and youth know what the right kind of relationship is, then they can detect if their relationships with their peers is amiss or predators. And then we, of course, do safe environment self-advocacy skills for Bridges and Boundaries. And so anyway, it's about to sweep the
nation. I
had
no idea that the kids were required to do that. Well, yeah, like you say, you always think of the adults. I mean, I do it every year. I have to, well,
me too.
Whenever I have to renew mine, it may not be every year, but very interesting. So what should the average person know about this? This is more for diocese, or can individuals get this, or if they just want to show their kids, or is it more for like?
No, it's more, we want it to be a classroom or youth group based endeavor. And every diocesan bishop gets to decide what safe environment program or programs. And so you have to get them approved first. And so we did our launch with two dioceses, Marquette in Michigan, and then Tulsa in Oklahoma. And they loved it so much, they're renewing. Bishop Conley in Lincoln, he signed on for 4 years. And so this is about to explode. And I'm so excited, Dave, because we need this program. And so, you know, if our listeners know somebody in various dioceses and they want to say, hey, did you hear about Bridges and Boundaries? I think that's the best thing for Tobit and Bridges and Boundaries.
You've gone off in a lot of different directions. Of course, the Bridges and Boundaries is one of them. The body matters. I know at home we've got some of the children's books that I've read to my kids before. And you have now different languages, Vietnamese, Spanish. I mean, how
for marriage prep.
Yeah, for marriage. I mean, you've done so much. To just kind of give us an idea of some of the other way, the directions that you've gone, all of course focused on these teachings of St. John Paul II, the theology of the body. It's all related one way or the other, right?
Right. So we now have the Body Matters printed in Spanish. That was a huge endeavor. And Peru, I found out this morning from my sales team, is purchasing the Body Matters in Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I have a salesperson in Mexico and it's moving there. And so it's pretty spread. We're trying to get Bridges and Boundaries to be translated to Spanish. So that's part of our capital campaign to raise money. And then we're trying to get more study groups to be expanded, because I think that's what we need nowadays is study groups.
Mm-hmm.
We also have something called My Body, My Identity, Discovering God's Design. And that covers sensitive topics, and it's a video-based preschool through 12th grade program. And we're looking for pilot places to do that. It covers things like abortion, transgender, homosexuality, promiscuity, and pornography in age-appropriate levels. Your listeners are like, what? Preschoolers? Yeah. But, of course, we do it in the age-appropriate way. And we don't mention those for the little ones.
Yeah.
But parents could have access so that they might carry on conversations if that's what they deem that their children need to hear.
Now, parents, how young would, if you know, for parents that are listening out there right now, they have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old or a 15-year-old. How young should a parent begin to talk to their child about the body and how so?
Yeah, I would say once a child has a body, which you should know.
In the womb.
In the womb, that's right. Okay. So I would read my TOTS books to your unborn baby in the womb, because it's like, my body is good and the body is a gift and the body is smart. And so those are my preschool books.
That reminds me of something. I wrote a book called St. Thomas Aquinas for Everyone, which was teaching young, 5-6-year-old kids about, Thomistic philosophy. And somebody texted me and said, oh, somebody wrote a book called St. Thomas Aquinas for Babies. And I'm like, well, you know, so I'm going to write one Thomas Aquinas for embryos. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and get all the way, go all the way back. You
I
know?
Love it. I'll be the but, first
but,
to buy
but,
it.
But you're serious about that. You think in the womb, you can already begin teaching
of
this
course,
stuff. Of huh?
course. Yeah. And here's the deal, Dave. When people relegate theology of the body only to sexuality, it kind of drives me crazy. You know, Christopher West was the premier guy, and many years ago, probably 15, he looked me in the eyes, Monica, do theology of the body your way. You're single, you don't have any kids, you're an educator, you're female. Mm-hmm. And so you have a different perspective. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I...
And it's great because everybody thinks it's just sexual. Then here you are, a single, you know, a woman that's not married. And so, but it's as relative to you or a priest or a religious sister as it is to anybody, right?
That's right. A way I look at it is if you do theology of body right... It gives a sacramental view of reality. What does that mean? It means matter matters. It means the body matters. And by knowing the truth of the visible, it gets us in touch with the invisible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Pope Benedict says in Theology of the Liturgy, that there's a transparency of the biological toward the eternal.
Yeah.
It's a fancy way of saying that body matters. And with our sacraments, you can't get to the transcendent except through the material. And that's why we have the Eucharist, baptism, and you know, the matter and form of all the sacraments.
Yeah, yeah, very good. All right, Monica Aschauer is my guest. She is the founder and president of Tobit, the Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. Go to tobit.org if you want to find out about that. And also, she has a capital campaign going on, trying to raise $6 million in the next 3 years, from silver roots to golden future, transforming the culture through theology of the body. And if you're saying, what's theology of the body? These were some beautiful teachings from our late Holy Father, St. John Paul II, his Wednesday audiences back in the late 70s for about, what, a few years that he was doing this?
Yeah, 1979 really, to 1984.
Right. I mean, this is like the first thing he wanted to tackle because he became Pope in 1978. I don't want to not talk about this encyclical by our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, Magnifica Humanitas, because at face level you say, well, this is about AI, this is about artificial intelligence, it probably has nothing to do with theology of the body, but just the opposite, right? Well, what would you say? Well, how is the theology of the body relevant to what the Holy Father is teaching about?
Thank you for asking that, because I just can't believe theology of the body is such an answer to so many things, Dave. So, our Holy Father, before this encyclical, he gave us Faces and Voices. That was just a small reflection on AI. Well, how do you have a face and how do you have a voice? It's because of the body. And even in this encyclical, I haven't read much of it. I just haven't had time. But he mentions, like, we are people who have bodies. And you can't replicate a human person without a body, even though people might think AI could be a substitute for relationships. You know, the chat box and all this other stuff. Even sex robots are being made. And I'm telling you, Dave, this is why we need theology of body at a young age. So the children are like, no, I want a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Body to body, as we might say.
And he quotes, I've read about half of the encyclical. We're going to have a show, by the way, Friday morning at 8 o'clock, where Dr. A. Lopez and Zach Allen and I are going to talk about this. So I'm busy reading it as we, you know, this week. But he quotes John Paul II extensively in it. I mean, lots of quotes, but also Francis and Benedict and going all the way back to Leo XIII. Of course, Rerum Novarum was kind of that social encyclical that, you know, and of course, Leo XIV took his name from Leo XIII. So, all right. So we've got a few more minutes. Monica Aschauer here. Anything else about the encyclical other than the fact that knowing theology of the body is a great, I mean, AI is everywhere. I mean, it's pretty soon, I have no doubt, even in our lifetime, we're going to have robots walking around and we're going to have to try to figure out, is that a real human person or is that fake? I mean, do you think that's going to be the case? And how relevant will theology of the body be at the time?
Yeah, I'm afraid it might be the case. But it's interesting how even Chase Bank, did you see one of their commercials where this guy is in front of like a computer making coffee and a computer and an AI, and they're like, oh, now we're building for people coming into the bank. And so to me, that is very telling, that I think we're all worried that we're going to have all this robotics coming in and taking over for relationality. But we're made in God's image and likeness. And who is God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Relation, communion of persons.
Mm-hmm.
And so for children to be taught about the body matters at a very young age, I think will help them not be taken, not be swept away by the AI. And we don't even know what it'll bring us, but
yeah.
I'm telling you, we have Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. He became human, which means as a body person. And yeah. So we're made in his image and likeness indeed.
It's going to be very interesting. And another reason why theology of the body is going to be so important. I remember going through Panda to get some food at a drive-thru, and the voice coming to me through the was not a human being. I could tell. And I even said, you know, may I please talk to a human being?
Oh my, yes.
But that's becoming all the more common. Of course, you call most, you know, 800 lines, and you're going to first talk to a robot, right? Before you get to a real human being. All right, Monica, we got a minute left. Thanks for coming in again. Monica Auschauer, founder, president, Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary, this Feast of the Immaculate Conception coming up on December 8th. What else would you like to leave with our listeners before we close this out?
Just that there's hope in Jesus Christ and his church. And I often mention Jesus and his church, because what does that mean? The way of understanding theology of the body is, and this is why people think it's mostly about sexuality. When a husband and wife come together freely, fully, faithfully, and fruitfully, there might be an offspring, the child.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an image of Christ's union with the church.
Yeah.
And don't sexualize that. It's kind of a metaphor. But as Ephesians 5:22-33 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and, you know, et cetera. And so I would just like to say that love is the bottom line to everything. But we can't love without our bodies, because yeah. we're embodied persons. And then finally, we believe in the resurrection of the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we will one day get our bodies back. And that is really good news.
Yeah,
good
it's interesting. Like when people talk about platonic love named after, you know, Plato, where it doesn't involve the body. So you're saying there's really no such thing. There's I by platonic, they just mean it's not sexual.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I would say that there's no such thing, but understood correctly.
Yeah.
Mother to a child is a body to body relationship. And
right.
So let's take that seriously going forward.
All right. Always good to talk with you, Monica. Thanks
you too,
so
Dave.
Much. And
thank
again,
you.
If you would like to support the From Silver Roots to Golden Future capital campaign that Monica is starting for the next 25 years of Tobit, you can go to their website, tobit.org, T-O-B-E-T.org, the Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. So thanks so much to Monica. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this encyclical by Leo the 14th, because I'm going to be joined on the phone with Ellen Rossini, Director of Advancement for the Catholic Pro-Life Community. And they're putting on a webinar tomorrow at noon with Patrick Brown from the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and she'll tell us about that. We're also going to talk about the 26th annual CPLC Golf Classic, which is coming up Wednesday, September 23rd in Grapevine. So we're going to take a quick break from the show, and we'll be back right after this.
Summer is coming with long days and less responsibility. That's a perfect time for your family's faith to flourish. Many parishes in the Diocese of Fort Worth offer Vacation Bible School, which offers Bible lessons for elementary school-age children through games, crafts, storytelling, and music, all designed to help children open their hearts to God's love. To find a Vacation Bible School that fits your family's schedule, go to fwdioc.org/vacation-bible-school or contact your parish directly and ask about their summer programs.
Do you like solving complex problems without being micromanaged? If so, you might like to become an aircraft dispatcher. I'm Chris Nisi. My wife Sita and I own Aircraft Dispatcher Training Center, where we train our students to earn their certification for this rewarding career. You can find more information about our school at ADTCDallas.com. We're proud to be sponsors of the GRN because KATH 910 AM helped our Catholic faith take flight.
Are you an experienced human resources professional looking to put your talents and expertise to work in a truly meaningful way? The Catholic Diocese of Dallas is hiring a benefits manager and a senior HRIS analyst to lead and support the people who serve our church and community every day. If you have strong experience managing employee benefits or HR systems, and you're a practicing Catholic ready to serve with purpose, we'd love to hear from you. Learn more and apply at dallascatholic.org/careers and search benefits manager or senior HRIS analyst.
It has been so long. Shouldn't I be over it by now?
I still remember that dreadful day.
There's no one I can talk to.
I'm sure no one I know has had an abortion.
What is wrong with me that I still think about it now?
I don't deserve to be forgiven. I'm so ashamed of what I did and who I am.
Are you suffering because of an abortion decision? We can help. Go to racheldallas.org.
When I look at my children, there's one missing.
When I hold my grandchildren, I remember what I did.
It is too late to hope I would ever feel differently.
Don't suffer alone. Go to racheldallas.org.
Hey everyone, this is Brandy Meeks, President and CEO of Vitae Foundation. I want to invite you to join me and my dear friend Riley Gaines at the Vitae Foundation Pro-Life event on Tuesday, September 22nd at the beautiful Dallas Country Club. Riley will share about why she advocates for men and women to protect their preborn babies. You don't want to miss this. Our last three events with her have all sold out, and we know this one will too. So get your tickets now at adsforlife.org. That's adsforlife.org.
This is Tony Becerra. My wife, Chris, and I own Babich & Associates. We're the oldest placement and recruitment firm in the state of Texas, and we are a proud sponsor of Guadalupe Radio Network. Chris and I are also members of St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas. Babich & Associates offers candidates insights into the current job market, and we provide professional candidates that we have interviewed on a face-to-face basis. Our number to call is 214-823-9999, or you can visit us on the web at babich.com.
Welcome back to the Good News Show. It's June 1st, is the month of the Sacred Heart, and 1 week from today begins our consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Summer Share-a-thon, and we just ask you to please make plans to call in during the week and help us hit our goals. I know it's during the summer, you know, we're all kind of chill and taking vacations and stuff, but please, we got to keep supporting the station that you're listening to right now. And before we get to our CPLC segment with Ellen Rossini and Kevin Morrison, both joining us by the phone, I just want to remind you that this coming weekend, the 5th through the 7th of June, there is a Fullness of Truth conference, and Fullness of Truth, they put on amazing conferences, and this one is going to be in Round Rock, Texas, right outside of Austin, and it's at the Kalahari Resort, which I think is one of, if not the biggest indoor water park in the world. And the theme is restoring the good, the true, and the beautiful to a searching world. And the speakers include, but are not limited to, Father Chad Ripperger, Jesse Romero, Jen Ball, Shane Smith. And I have a family pass that they are allowing me to give away. So if you would like the family pass, all you got to do is email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. That's you, your spouse, and all the kids living under your roof, 21 and under. Okay, so if you have a big family, this is a quite a bargain. And before we get to Ellen, and we're going to talk about this Magnifica Humanitas encyclical that Pope Leo XIV has put out, I told Cicel I was going to ask her this question, so I'm going to ask you, Cicel. Have you ever read an encyclical of all the way through? And don't feel bad if you haven't, because I think probably most Catholics haven't. But have you ever read an encyclical?
I have read one, and it's Humanae Vitae. It was really funny. If you asked me to remember a lot of great details about it, I probably couldn't, because I read it one night when I couldn't sleep. I have an app on my phone, Laudate, that has a lot of encyclicals on it. And I was like, this looks decently short. Let me just read through this.
Yeah, that's not a long
one. It's not a long one.
Reading that was what really drove me back into the Catholic faith and really enthusiastic. I mean, that encyclical changed my life. I mean, it was huge. But anyways, let me get to our guests. Ellen Rossini is Director of Advancement for the Catholic Pro-Life Community. Their website is prolifedallas.org, Director of Advancement. And also joining us on phone, Kevin Morrison, Chair of the golf tournament that's coming up in a few months, the 26th annual CPLC golf tournament, Wednesday, September 23rd at the Cowboys Golf Club in Grapevine, Texas. And so, Ellen and Kevin, thanks for joining me. How are y'all?
Great. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate being on.
And we got Kevin too, right?
Thank you all. Yep. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. I'm going to talk to Ellen for a little bit, and then I'm going to come to you here in just a few minutes, Kevin, to talk about the golf tournament in particular. But Ellen, I'm guessing that one of the big things we want to talk about, since it's tomorrow, is this webinar that y'all are putting on having to do with Magnifica Humanitas, what Pope Leo XIV's new encyclical means for the pro-life movement. And I never thought about this until I read the write-up on your website, because this is on artificial intelligence. And it's funny because Monica Aschauer, my previous guest, was connecting it to Theology of the Body Evangelization Team. And I know it connects to what I love about St. Thomas Aquinas. But tell us about this, and how did this whole webinar kind of take shape?
Well, thank you, Dave. So I don't know if you know this about Cynthia Schmidt, our new executive director, but she majored in theology and political science at the University of Notre Dame. And so this is right up her alley. But this particular encyclical, what she said this morning was, when I read it, I never felt so seen as a leader of a pro-life organization as I did reading this. So she has been like on a high since that was released, and said, we've got to get out there and communicate this. And so she has a personal acquaintanceship with Patrick Brown, who will be the guest on the webinar. And he's a fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And his background, he writes on topics from housing and tax policy to social capital and early childhood. And he's always consulting on topics about advancing pro-life and pro-family policies. His writing has been all over the New York Times, The Atlantic, Free Press, National Review, Washington Post. And so these are two really great people to have a conversation about what this encyclical really means for the human community and human dignity. So please, I just want to invite everybody listening to go to our website, prolifedallas.org. The first thing you'll see on the homepage is a little write-up on that and a chance to register. So you do need to register to watch the webinar or to watch it later, but go ahead and register. It's at 12 noon tomorrow, so take your lunch hour and just watch these folks really engage on the content. People are talking about it, but I love the perspective on what it means for our, you know, the dignity of life and sacredness of life. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that about people are paying attention to it, because I was out at Sacred Heart Parish in Rowlett for the 5:30 Mass yesterday, and they allowed me to make a little announcement about Catholic Radio at the end. And we're doing a live show this Friday during the 8 o'clock hour on the encyclical. And so as one of my talking points, as I was looking out the crowd, I said, how many of y'all are aware that Pope Leo XIV put an encyclical out last week about AI? And I'm telling you, Ellen, about half the hands went up. I did not expect that. I mean, most people don't pay that much attention to papal encyclicals, but I think this topic in particular really is resonating with people.
Well, things are just like spinning out real fast. That's what people are feeling. And so we are attentive to it. So it's going to be a great conversation and one of many that are being had. But of course, the perspective of human life, it's core. It's a core material for this.
Now, you mentioned Patrick Brown from the Ethics and Public Policy Center, who is going to be on this webinar. Is Cynthia also going to be on it herself?
Oh yes, the two of them. I'm so sorry.
Okay,
yes.
No, that's a
Q&A.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. And when people register, they'll be able to turn on their mics and participate, or a chat feature, or how exactly will this be formatted?
Yeah, so it's a Zoom webinar, so there is a chat feature. And so we expect people to be, you know, putting questions in and engaging. And then Cynthia will be able to see that chat and kind of bring that in. You know, she's prepared for the full conversation, but we're really interested to see what people are asking in the community about it.
Yeah, that's when I signed up to be on the show on Friday that we're doing, I immediately thought, well, gosh, now I got to read this thing. it really is a good read. And I will recommend, and I know it's probably not, you know, required that somebody who's going to join your webinar tomorrow having had read the whole thing. But if you read it, you will get so much background about what previous popes have said, going all the way back to Pope Leo XIII and Rerum Novarum. I mean, it's a great history class. You learn about the principles of Catholic social teaching, and it's quite interesting. And yes. I don't know, have you had a chance to read any of it yet, Ellen?
No, you know, I printed it out because I wanted the book form, right? But it looks like it's not available till July. So I thought, okay, well, when it's a long work, I like to read it on paper. And so I I printed it out, and I think I read the first paragraph.
Hey, well, you got to start, right?
I got to start. But here's the thing. I think people are tickled that he's got references to Tolkien, so this is great.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that reference yet, but yeah, there's references to a lot of Dorothy Day and Aquinas and Augustine and all the popes that followed him. You're going to get a lot of Francis, you're going to get a lot of Benedict, and John Paul II is very, very prevalent in it as well. So, okay, before we move on to something else, anything else about that, or do you think we've covered that pretty well? They go to prolifedallas.org, they register. It's going to be tomorrow, Tuesday, at noon. Obviously, it's free, and you get to listen to Patrick Brown from the Ethics and Public Policy Center and Cynthia Schmidt, who is the executive director of the CPLC, weighing in on this, especially as it relates to pro-life issues. So anything else about
just a shout out to Young Catholic Professionals for being co-sponsors. We really appreciate them partnering with us on this.
All right, so let's go to the golf tournament, and then I'll return. And I know you're going to be kind of chiming in on this as well, but I do want to welcome Kevin Morrison, who is the chair of the 26th annual CPLC Golf Classic. Wednesday, September 23rd is when it's going to be going on, benefiting all the life-saving ministries of the CPLC. It's going to be at the Cowboys Golf Club in Grapevine, Texas. And Kevin, thanks again for joining us. And how did you get involved with this golf classic to the point where you're now chairing the event?
Well, like a lot of things in life, good friends get you involved in good causes. In this case, one of the past chairs, Eric Hyman, who's a good friend, began inviting me, upwards of 10 years ago to play in this. And 2 years ago, asked me to co-chair, and this year I'm going to be the chair. But it's a great cause, obviously. Thanks for having us on the call to promote it. It's a really fun tournament. It's going to be at a great venue. They've just renovated the Cowboys Club golf course, and obviously there's going to be a lot of great people there as well.
Yeah, tell us about this golf course. This is actually the Cowboys, like the Dallas Cowboys football team. It's associated with them, right? So what's special about this course?
You know, as a golfer, I'll say that it's relatively unique for Dallas and that there's a lot of different elevations out there. People don't think of Dallas as having much elevation, if any, but it makes for a lot of spectacular views from a lot of different holes on the course. And they do a great job of keeping the course in fantastic shape.
And you have some sponsorships that are still available. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. I would, rather than giving you a long rundown of all the remaining sponsorship opportunities, I would ask that anyone listening who's interested in learning more, go to prolifedallas.org/golf2026. And we have a lot of remaining sponsorship opportunities there.
Now tell me, how good of a golfer do you need to be to participate in this? And if you're not a golfer at all, what can you do?
Well, I would say I'm not sure if there's any really good golfers out there that I've seen. So it's really open to just about anybody and everybody. We play a scramble format where it's best ball on each shot. For those who aren't familiar with that, it's basically of the foursome that you would play with, whoever has the best drive, you play that ball for the next shot and so on until you hole out. And so even if you don't have any really good golfers in your group, I've seen a lot of teams play really well together in that kind of format.
All right. So maybe a silly question, but do you have to have your own clubs?
That is a great question. I do know that clubs like the Cowboys Club do offer rental sets, but I imagine that supply is limited to some degree. So if you do need to rent those clubs, I would suggest calling the club early to reserve those.
And there's not a putt-putt option, I'm guessing, right?
Well, it's funny you say that. Not in our tournament, but I did notice as part of the renovations that the Cowboys Club is doing, they did apparently install a putt-putt course there.
Yeah,
although it won't be part of
trying to get it through that windmill, you know.
Exactly.
No, I want to see some group do a putt-putt fundraiser. I think it would be so popular. People like me would be lining up. But all right, thanks. Kevin Morrison is one of my guests, chair of the CPLC golf tournament coming up on September 23rd. And you are a co-chair along with Joe Byrne, right? Tell us about Joe.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Joe has been a longtime supporter of the tournament and a lot of other Catholic causes here in Dallas. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here today, but I definitely want to give him a shout out and thank him for his participation also.
And, you know, just kind of a final question, Kevin, about, you know, somebody listening right now that, you know, like it doesn't really matter how good of a golfer they are. You said it's best ball, so you're not going to drag your team down if you're not that great. But why is it important for somebody to be involved in this? And obviously it's a fundraiser, but maybe just kind of give one more appeal to people listening right now to get involved in this tournament on the 23rd of September.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah, the Catholic Pro-Life organization does so much good here in Dallas, and this is one of the fundraisers to support all the causes that they pursue. Obviously, the number one is the sanctity of human life. You know, personally, as I have gotten older, I have become come to appreciate more the sanctity of human life. I want to do everything I can to support that, and so I would encourage anybody who is beginning to have an awakening to the importance of that issue as well. We would very much appreciate your support of the Catholic Pro-Life organization and would love to have you out of the tournament.
All right. Kevin Morrison, along with Joe Byrne, the chairs of this tournament. You can find all the information at prolifedallas.org. In fact, if you go there, you're going to see it's a beautiful website, and it's going to be toggling between what we talked about before, that webinar tomorrow at noon, and then also the Golf Classic, which is going to be September 23rd. Ellen Rossini also joining me, Director of Advancement for the CPLC. And Ellen, I always think, like, what does it cost? Or give us some of the particulars if somebody wants to get involved in this tournament. What's the cost, and what else should they know before they get started registering?
Yes, and I just want to thank you, Kevin, so much. You and Joe have been so fun to work with, and you've been faithful supporters of this tournament for years and years, and that's what makes it such a great event, just the great guys and gals that come out for the event. As far as participating, our lowest level participation was a donation of any kind through the golf tournament is always welcome. But we have whole sponsorship starting at just $250. And we would love it if every parish, every Knights of Columbus Council, any small business would purchase a whole sponsorship and promote your organization or your business that way at the tournament. We also have team sponsorships. So to put your foursome together, that's $1,500 for the foursome, and you get golf and you get all kinds of fun giveaways. You get a shirt, a hat, different things, and just the joy that your participation is supporting our pro-life ministries of healing, of help and support for mothers in need, and parish participation and engagement and education. So we also have some other non-golfing sponsorships available that you can, you know, you don't get a foursome, but you can still support it. We've got, you know, Closest to the Star, since it's the only NFL-themed golf course in the world, actually. And so you've got stars for the Dallas Cowboys on the course. And so there's a fun game there. Longest Drive, we've got putt sponsorships, scorecard sponsorships, different ways to make it a really fun event that you can support financially.
I was going to ask you this, and this is probably more of a Kevin question, but Kevin, how competitive does it get, and is there a trophy for the winner? And you know, like, do people do? I know, like you said, it's best ball, so nobody's going to drag their team down entirely. But do the ones who are good at it make it pretty competitive?
They do. I mean, despite what I said earlier, there are definitely some good golfers out there. And humans being humans, some of them, they want to win, even though they're there to support a good cause. So it's a competitive environment in that regard. And I think anybody, though, who participates will have a great time.
All right. Thanks so much. Kevin Morrison, chair of the golf tournament. Ellen Rossini, director of advancement. And Ellen, what else is going on within the CPLC that is especially, I guess, related to your work and raising the funds to keep all these ministries going? I saw on the website here that there's a And maybe this may not be in your realm, but I know Rachel's Vineyard Retreat is going on this weekend. I don't know if people can still register for that or not. I know Eileen Kuhlman and the team are really very eager to get people to sign up for that if they're suffering from a past abortion. There's a Gabriel Angel training coming up next weekend, Saturday, June 13th. Is there anything else, advancement or otherwise, that you'd like to mention to our listeners, Ellen?
Oh yeah, well, and one thing I forgot about the golf tournament to mention, if you're a golfer or not, anybody can participate in our raffle, which is tickets to the Army-Navy game. And in this year of, America 250, it's going to be a great game. So,
oh, wow.
I encourage anybody to get a raffle ticket for that. It's two tickets. It's at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey on Saturday, December 12th. And the package includes the game tickets, hotel accommodations. So pretty special little raffle. So anybody can buy raffle tickets to that today or anytime. And the raffle will be drawn at the tournament on September 23rd.
All right. So go to ProLifeDallas.org, ProLifeDallas.org, and get in that raffle, the Army-Navy game. Yeah, this is a big year, 250th anniversary of our country. And so let's see. Is anything about... I'm always very eager for your next big bishop's, the dinner. And I know it's on the website. There aren't a lot of details. Anything you want to say is about at least the date and the location of that event, Ellen?
Yes. The event will be April 10th, 2027. And we have a new venue this year. It's the Toyota Music Factory Pavilion. And it's going to be such a fun venue. We're very excited about it. So we've got that booked. And more details to come on our headliner and what that whole event is going to look like. But it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
All right. Thanks so much. And let's just circle back to what we talked about at the beginning. Tomorrow, I'm very excited about this, that you've got a webinar on the Pope's encyclical, which is on AI as related to the pro-life movement, because, artificial intelligence really impacts every single aspect of our lives. But if you could, Ellen, for people who are just tuning in, give us the details one more time about what people should do, who's going to be involved in this if they want to listen in on this webinar tomorrow noon on Magnifica Humanitas, Pope Leo XIV's encyclical on artificial intelligence.
Yes, please go to our website, ProLifeDallas.org. And the very first thing you'll see on the homepage is information about the webinar featuring Cynthia Schmidt, our executive director, and Patrick Brown of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. And there's a button right there to register. So you do need to register for the webinar. Even if you're not able to be there through the whole hour from 12 to 1, those are the people that are going to be able to participate in the webinar. But go ahead and register, even if all you can do is kind of check in. Register, and it's going to be a great conversation to listen and learn from and to participate in the Zoom webinar chat function. And it's there's so many threads in this encyclical to pull on the topics that are very important to us as an organization and to our community for all our pro-life listeners. It's going to be very powerful for us to be unpacking in years and months to come.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited about it. I've got to check my calendar to see if I'm available tomorrow at noon, because I think I'm going to be listening in on that one as well. Ellen Rossini, Director of Advancement, Kevin Morrison, Chair of the September 23rd Golf Tournament in Grapevine. Thank you very much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you.
Yeah, just a couple of things real quickly that I didn't mention. I don't think I mentioned that on July 18th, we are going to have our Keeping the Promise event. And we have four panelists. We've never done anything like this before. Cy Kellett, the host of Catholic Answers Live. Doug Keck, the president emeritus of EWTN. Our own Toya Hall, our founder, is going to be part of that. And we also have Father Sam Medley, who is no stranger to Guadalupe Radio. He's on the morning show. He's on the afternoon Christian show, and he's just an amazing priest. I'm going to be the moderator and the MC. And if you want to get the tickets, they're $100. There will be heavy hors d'oeuvres. It's at the Capel Arts Center. Just go to grnonline.com/wow, and you can get your tickets to this Wine, Wisdom, and Wow event. And then just one last thing. You know, I know this event for Fullness of Truth is this weekend, and it's right around the corner, but I have not gotten a taker yet on our final family pass. If you want to go and see Father Chad Ripperger, and Jen Ball, and Jesse Romero, and Shane Smith, and all the other speakers at this, and also go to the Kalahari Resort. It's like one of the coolest water resorts in anywhere. I mean, one of the biggest ones in the world. Email me, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. I can give you a free family pass. You, your spouse, and all the kids under your roof, under 21, can go and participate in the water park and the conference. And that's available to you if you email DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And that's going to be the end of the show. Thanks to Cecil Anderson for running the board. And thank you for listening. And also, don't forget, a week from today, the Summer Share-a-thon begins. We want somebody from this station to be the first caller. Okay, God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show. KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.